This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. And with us is Washington Post reporter Olivier Knox, one of the best in the business, been around for a long time and for a while head of the National Correspondents Association. And that event that is annually held changed a bit dramatically during the Trump years. And before we go to the Biden years, what about the legacy of Donald Trump, Olivier Knox? You're right there in the Beltway with one of the great news entities that was attacked fervently by the previous president. Your thoughts about what the remnants of the Trump years, will they be around for a while?
Oh, I think the Donald Trump years will be around for a good long while. You can see that he's got a very firm hold on the rest of the Republican Party. I realize that the good folks in Louisiana are probably focusing on their senator's vote switch. But just as a practical matter, if you look at the votes taken in the last, I don't know, I want to say a couple months, you can see that he has a really firm grasp on the GOP. Just 10 folks voting, 10 Republicans joining Democrats to vote for impeachment. You saw, I mean, sure, Liz Cheney survived the challenge to her leadership job, but that was by secret ballot, which sort of, you know, insulates individual lawmakers from potential Trumpian retaliation. He has to be seen, I think, if he wants it, as the front runner for the 2024 Republican nomination. He's not going anywhere. I mean, you know, I get that he's been banned from Twitter, but he still has a very firm grasp on this party.
877-217-5757 for Olivier Knox of the Washington Post. And I think one of the valid assessments of what's going on in Washington now is that the impeachment trial appears to be a worthy endeavor as far as what happened on January 6th. But it does take attention from Joe Biden's agenda, which is massive, and the early days have been busy. He took office 3 weeks ago today, and those have not been days without action. Your thoughts about the first 3 weeks of the Biden presidency?
You know, it's common to see incoming presidents sign a few executive actions, but it's been an absolute blizzard coming out of the Biden White House. They've obviously pushed some legislation, the main piece of which is that $1.9 trillion economic rescue stimulus relief package, however you want to label it. But it's been extremely active. They've pushed that. They've pushed immigration legislation. He's been making the customary calls to other world leaders. I will note that one significant omission so far from the call sheets is the leader of China, Xi Jinping. But yeah, it's been a flurry of activity. They show no sign of really slowing down. I know they've got some more executive actions coming, but right now their focus is on that coronavirus rescue package. That's really the thing they want to get through as quickly as possible.
877-217-5757 for Olivier Knox, reporter and prominent member of the Washington Post and of the national political scene for many years. And he's assessing the first 3 weeks of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.'s presidency, number 46. You mentioned his rescue package entering a pivotal phase. Democrats in Congress are of course, on board, and there are enough to get it done without any Republican support. But is this really the way Joe Biden would want to do it? He's known as a bipartisan kind of guy, but right now he's in a very partisan environment and doesn't look like he's going to get much Republican support.
He's made it pretty clear that he's entirely at peace with not having Republican support. I mean, the message from them since even before he took office was, look, I'll get Republican support when I can, and I'll go it with just Democrats if I must. He has said that again and again and again. In some ways, the bigger challenge for him is keeping his Democrats together. You know, the margin in the House is pretty thin, and of course, the margin in the Senate could not be thinner for the Democrats. So the deal maker Biden, I mean, obviously that is a huge part of his persona. He of course talked about trying to forge some kind of national unity of purpose. But he's made it pretty clear. He's okay with using that parliamentary tactic known as reconciliation, which would let the Democrats push through this bill with just Democratic votes. I don't think he's seemed anguished or ambivalent at all about that approach.
Is it a bit disingenuous for Mitch McConnell to say that this is the wrong way to do it, considering how he operated during the Trump years?
Well, I think, you know, this is sort of the periodic party role reversal, right? I mean, you're in favor of reconciliation when you can push through the Trump era tax legislation, and you're against reconciliation when the Biden White House is pushing through this coronavirus rescue package. It's not a huge surprise. I'll say that there's been something of a role reversal there. I would expect it to be not the only one. I mean, Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, said something kind of interesting at one of the hearings today, where he said that the Republicans, you know, can kind of cool it on the debt and deficit talk, given their approach the last 4 years. But I don't think we're going to hear a lot of that message. I think we're going to hear a lot more of sort of the traditional role reversal of rediscovering concerns about the debt when the other party has the White House.
877-217-5757 for Olivier Knox. Here's a question to talk at talklouisiana.org, and one that I intended to pose to Olivier, but this is Holly in the Garden District asking about the president's handling of the media. The new president certainly has a different approach than the previous one. Your thoughts about the distinction and how that will work?
Yeah, that's obviously a significant change, at least in tone. The new president, we're not constantly waiting to see what he tweeted overnight or whether he once again called us the enemies of the people. The tone has changed, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold my I'm going to keep my powder dry on the Biden White House relationship with the media for a little bit. You know, it's nice to have regular briefings again. It's nice to have, you know, a steady, regular information flow again. But all due respect to White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she's pretty good at avoiding questions she doesn't want to answer. So if you'll just give me a little time, I'm happy to come back on the show in a few weeks or a few months and give you a sort of more fleshed out assessment. They're obviously a lot more disciplined, which is not necessarily great for us. We like undisciplined White Houses. We like White Houses that leak like sieves. So when I say disciplined, obviously it's a nod to their professionalism, but it's not necessarily a great thing for the Fourth Estate.
Yeah, well, Donald Trump, one of his faults was not, he was definitely accessible. That was not something that was valid as far as criticism. What other president would have given Bob Woodward, your colleague, the access that President Trump did? But it was a whirlwind in which the news cycle was evolving based on his tweets, and he gave a lot of headlines. No doubt, he was one that we probably will never see the likes of again.
Well, unless he runs again and wins, right? But yes, yeah. It's actually back in I guess late spring, early summer of 2017. I was talking to a fairly prominent Republican campaign consultant, successful guy. Having drinks in D.C., and he told me, again, keep in mind this is late spring, early summer of 2017, he said the successful Democratic 2020 campaign message is going to be, quote, "I swear to God, there'll be days you forget I even exist." and I want to emphasize something. I mean, I've seen some of my – this annoys me, so let me just vent for a second. I've seen some of my colleagues describe the Biden era as boring, and all I can say is the nation is confronting – a still deadly pandemic. The death toll is creeping up towards 500,000. There are tens of millions of Americans in dire economic straits. There are challenges inside the United States. There are challenges on foreign policy. And if this era leaves you shrugging and saying that it's boring, you should probably get out of the business.
Mm-hmm. Nick in Goodwood asks about the vice president, Kamala Harris. Of course, Joe Biden held that role as vice president for 8 years, 2 terms. Has her role been fleshed out?
It's a great, great, great question. A lot of us are watching to see just how Joe Biden conceives of the job, because after all, it's been derided in the past by past holders of the title, and I won't say the full phrase, or rather I'll edit it, bucket of warm spit, right, is the value that others have placed on it. It's going to be very interesting. You know, the joke in the Obama era was that President Obama was giving Vice President Biden just all the crap jobs. So it was Biden's job to sort of ride sheriff on the economic stimulus package. It was Joe Biden who had to figure out Iraq and Afghanistan policy. It was Joe Biden who had to figure out a way forward on gun rights and gun restrictions. So he had all these difficult jobs. I think the early question for us as we cover this new White House is whether Vice President Harris is going to have a stylistically similar assignment. That is to say, Biden as vice president wanted to be the first one in the room with Barack Obama and the last one in the room with Barack Obama. And during the meeting, he wanted to ask questions, sometimes very difficult questions, to make it so that Barack Obama himself did not have to ask them. And I suspect that he's going to configure Kamala Harris's role in this White House in a roughly similar way. We it's still early. Again, they are very unfortunately quite disciplined, so we haven't had great leaks from their meetings. But my guess is that Joe Biden's going to configure Kamala Harris's job roughly along the lines of the way he approached the job when he was vice president.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, I mentioned your role as the president of the White House Correspondents Association. You made some changes as far as how that annual event happens. We're in the COVID age now, so that's changed matters. But there were changes involving how politicians were skewered before that, weren't there?
Yeah, there were. So I was the WHCA president from July of 2018 to July of 2019. My correspondence dinner. Actually, this will amuse you. This is a minor scoop for you. The change I made, which was to not go with a traditional entertainer, but go with Ron Chernow, the historian, the author of Hamilton, that is something I campaigned on for the job in 2016, in early 2016, before we knew who the nominees for either parties were. And my rationale was that the dinner needed to be refocused on the press corps. It needed to be taken away from Hollywood as much as we could. It needed to be refocused on the First Amendment.
Okay, we're going to come back and spend a few more minutes with Olivier Knox after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. The Mulete sisters have stepped aside. We'll hear from them soon. A fascinating novel from them. But we're spending a bit more time with Olivier Knox, one of the fine surveyors of the American political scene with the Washington Post. And he is the former head of the White House Correspondents Association. Olivier is a French-born American journalist who is the chief Washington correspondent for Sirius XM as well. I believe, do you still have that gig or have you moved forward?
No, I've moved forward. I'm now I'm fully Washington
Post. Fully with the Post,
yep.
Which of course is owned by the world's richest man in Jeff Bezos. And a listener asks, it's a good question. Does Bezos get involved or is he a hands-off guy?
No, he's a hands-off guy. Marty Baron, who unfortunately is retiring soon or leaving us soon, Marty Baron calls the shots. The editorial side calls the shots. It's not obviously I've only been at the Post for a couple of weeks, but for 3 weeks, but he stays out of it. He understands that the minute that there's any sort of undue influence, it would hurt the Washington Post.
Well, so you started with the Post when Joe Biden started as president, which is somewhat symbolic.
Yeah, my first column was on January 20th. So yes, it's been kind of a whirlwind. I'll be honest.
No doubt. 877-217-5757 for Olivier Knox of the Washington Post. Patrick in Ennis-Wald Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you, Patrick.
Hey, good morning. Olivia, you talked about how Biden's kind of a boring president for the press. I think it's more that the media is not reporting on him. We're having nothing negative about the 19 executive orders, the extortion he did when he was vice president.
All right. The quote extortion was proved not to be extortion, but the 19 executive orders, that is a legitimate observation from Patrick. Biden is certainly using the powers at his disposal, isn't he?
Yeah, what I would say to Patrick is it's a lot more than 19. If you're looking at, and again, you got to distinguish between executive orders and then the broader category of executive actions. And I'd like to do the latter because it gives you a much better sense of how active Joe Biden has been in his first few weeks as president. If we haven't hit 40, we'll hit it soon. He's been extremely active in that sense. I tried to explicitly say that he's not boring. I tried to explicitly say that the era we're in now, if you think that politics is boring, Let me point you in the direction of the massive challenges that we face as a country, the pandemic, the economy, issues at home and abroad. So I just want to make clear, I absolutely was not describing this era in politics as boring.
Well, Biden is 78 years old, meaning if he runs for re-election, he will be 82. And it's possible that the Republican nominee in 2024 will be a 78-year-old Donald John Trump. Do you think Trump is going to make a go of it to try to come back?
You know, I don't know, except that if you're looking at what he's been doing since November, you know, raising money, he took the unusual step of pushing for his Republican National Committee chair, Ronna McDaniel, to stay in that position, which, you know, maintains some of his influence there. It's not totally clear how often he is speaking to Republican leaders, but you know, you watched Kevin McCarthy of California, the House Minority Leader, make a pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago, and you've got to tell yourself that that Donald Trump's not done with politics. Whether he runs again, boy, that's an open question. You know, will he want to go through that again? I'm afraid my crystal ball is cloudy.
And for both Biden and for Trump at their age, health has to be an issue, and we don't know what kind of condition they will be in 2024. And, of course, there was widespread speculation from those who were against Joe Biden that he wouldn't make it through a month or 2 months or certainly 4 years. But Kamala Harris is in a position where she legitimately, based on any actuarial chart, could be the president of the United States because of the age of the president.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you're right to take that in the actuarial direction. Not wishing anybody any harm. But yeah, and you know, there's a broader conversation to have about you know, the age of the leading politicians in America. These are not spring chickens for the most part. And with that comes a certain perspective on, you know, the role of government and politics. And obviously we don't have a national conversation. We don't elect the speaker by popular suffrage. But there are certainly conversations to be had about this and decisions to be made. I mean, one of the criticisms that I heard of Barack Obama when he was president was the thinning out of the Democratic bench, because so many governors and state legislatures tipped to the GOP. And so that's something I think the party has to reckon with still.
Olivier Knox of The Washington Post is with us. Your thoughts about the presentation yesterday from both sides, those House members who were prosecuting the president, former president, and his obviously not ready for primetime defense team.
Well, also a really stunning contrast between the first impeachment and this one. I mean, it's sort of hard to top that that 13-minute video interspersing former President Trump's remarks with the violence at the Capitol. There's going to be more of that kind of footage today as the House managers prosecuting the case against Donald Trump resume their work. They apparently have a lot of never-before-seen video footage. At least that's what they're promising us. You're right on the Trump side of things. my colleagues have a reported piece in today about just how upset the former president is with the performance of his lawyers. You know, it's not like he can't afford good ones, but he's apparently very upset with their performance. You heard a lot of on-the-record grumbling from Republican senators yesterday, saying that the Trump defense just wasn't up to snuff. A lot of bipartisan acclaim for Congressman Raskin, the lead manager. So that's just a reminder, that's the prosecution is called the managers. A lot of admiration for his emotional presentation and his constitutional arguments, frankly. So even though it's an unbelievable once in a lifetime long shot to get the 17 Republican senators needed to convict, the general assessment of yesterday was that the House managers definitely had the better of the Trump defense.
Olivier, where were you 3 weeks ago when the mob attack occurred?
Safe at home, I have to say, and watching the events unfold on television as well as via the Twitter accounts of some of my dear friends and colleagues who were actually in the building.
And they were and fearful of their lives, weren't they?
They were. They were. And you know, if you've ever covered Congress, and I have, you develop a real attachment for the place. And it was hard to watch then. And frankly, it was hard to watch yesterday, to watch that the footage. I mean, it's, you know, the video footage of that one rioter beating and spearing a police officer with a pole with an American flag still on it. That's some heavy stuff.
Well, and one of our previous guests, Dan Ritchie, you may have heard, he was saying that anti-Trump people, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, were involved in this, and there is not evidence of that. We know definitively that the people who were there were Trump supporters. Now, that doesn't mean that all Trump supporters are like that, of course. That would mean 75 million people are like that, and we know as Americans that most of the 75 million are good people who just voted for the president, former president, for various reasons. But it is significant that Bill Cassidy changed his mind and actually voted to proceed, the senator from Louisiana who lives right at the gates of LSU. Here's how Cassidy was talking when the matter first came up. Certainly a different tune at that time.
Look, everybody knows what the outcome of this process is going to be. Do you?
Do I what?
Know the outcome. Do you think the outcome is predetermined?
Do
here?
I interpret?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't. I think it depends upon that which is presented. Let's face it. The House did an incredibly poor job of building a case before their impeachment vote. If the president wasn't there, he wasn't allowed counsel. They didn't amass evidence. In 5 hours, they kind of judged and boom, he's impeached. Now, I'm told that under the Watergate, under the Clinton impeachments, mm-hmm. there were truckloads of information. Here, it was a video. Mm-hmm. There was no process. I mean, it's almost like, you know, if it happened in the Soviet Union, you would have called it a show trial.
All right. That's Bill Cassidy then. And then yesterday, he did a full reversal on this. And the president, Olivier, has been invited to testify and has not accepted that offer.
Right. You know, it's always a little dangerous to compare different impeachments across the decades. There was, of course, a special counsel in the Clinton era, Ken Starr, who spent the better part of Clinton's 8 years in office looking for evidence of wrongdoing wherever he could find it. The processes were very different. But remember that the trial, the impeachment is the formal accusation by the House of Representatives. The trial is what we're having now. This is the constitutional order of things. It was sort of striking to hear the reversal from Senator Cassidy. He's made a point of saying it doesn't mean he's going to vote to convict, though.
Olivier Knox, thanks for going into overtime with us, and we look forward to a future conversation, and congratulations with your new assignment at the Washington Post, one of the great news entities of the world. Thank you, Olivier.
Thanks.
First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for Talk Louisiana. Until tomorrow, I'm Jim Inkster. Stay safe and stay tuned.